Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Now, so we are now recording, so I'll start in 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this month's edition of Rave Radio's Green AV. I am your host and friendly chief AV girl, Midori Connolly. This month, I am very excited to say that I have Alan Weidman with me, who is the executive director of the STEP Foundation and sustainability officer for Infocom International. Most of us, that's our favorite and primary association in the world. So we're really excited to have you, Alan. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much, Midori.
So really quickly, just to kick it off, if you wouldn't mind, and did I say your last name right? I always struggle with that. We want to make sure I said that correctly.
You said it perfectly. Thank you.
Okay. So to kick this conversation off, just so everybody kind of knows a little bit about you, what is your background with Green AV, sustainability? Kind of how did you become involved, and where did that passion sort of kick off?
Well, I wish I could say that I was struck by a bolt of lightning and I saw the future and decided to follow it. In fact, it wasn't even plan A or plan B. It's something that I have migrated into. I'm an engineer by training and temperament and work for a number of design-build contractors in Pennsylvania and wound up working for a gas company, public utility, which got me to come down to Washington and work for American Gas Association as their director of codes and standards. Now, I'm old enough to remember not only the first oil embargo, but the second oil embargo and having to sit in line waiting for gasoline. So there's a certain sensitivity that came when I moved to AGA. And working on codes and standards. But that's at the time when they started developing the energy conservation standards. And from there, I moved on to the Plastics Industry Trade Association. Of course, they're up to their earlobes with recycling and environmental issues. And in fact, one of my challenges there was I spent 7 years working with the Environmental Protection Agency on an issue at the time that was generically and unfortunately referred to as the toxic Teflon frying pan issue. So, again, from a business perspective, I spent some time with environmental issues. From there, I moved on to an association management firm that managed a number of associations, quite a few in the building products group, asphalt roofing, roof coating, builders hardware, and a few other things. And that's when I got involved more specifically in sustainability, moving on from energy conservation and tracking those issues from a building products perspective. And got involved with the International Green Construction Code when it first started its development, and 4 years of that, and again with ASHRAE and some others. So it's been an interesting journey to wind up at Infocom. I made that contact through a mutual friend. And 2 years ago, when Randy Lemke was here, they were looking to add a sustainability person, recognizing that the AV industry is going to have to become better acquainted and better informed about an issue that is going to have an effect on them. So that is how I got here in under 5 minutes. But it's been an interesting journey. And most importantly, it is much more from a business perspective. And how sustainability is going to affect businesses and how they can use it to become better businesses.
Right. I love that perspective. And I like the story because I think so often, when we talk about sustainability or green or, whatever term we choose, I think it's important to recognize that you don't have to have, formal training. Our background doesn't have to come, people ask me, did you study in the, environmental sciences? And it's like, no, I just kind of had a passion and sort of just felt like something needed to be done. So I did something, and I think it's important to remember that we don't have to have a formal education or training or anything else. But if we have the passion, see the opportunity, then anybody can really seize that. So it's a good story. I think that's nice for people to know. And tell us a little bit more about your role specifically with Infocom as a sustainability officer, because I think, frankly, just having the position of sustainability officer could be very intriguing for quite a few of our listeners. Tell me a little bit more about, you know, what are the responsibilities as a sustainability officer that you are responsible for, and anything, you know, happening at InfoComm that you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, first of all, the fact that InfoComm has this proactive to establish this position is rather amazing. Some 10,000 trade associations in the U.S. and this is probably one of five that has a position like this. And particularly since sustainability is not something that is right at the doorstep of the AV industry right now. So to be this proactive and establish something and invest in this is rather amazing, frankly. My three challenges here are one internal to InfoComm to make our office and employees more sustainable. We're in a lease space, so that's a challenge to get some things done, although we have put in occupancy sensors and automatic shutoffs on the faucets and things. But I think one of the most interesting things we've done is to have what we refer to as a compressed work week. We're out here in the suburbs in the greater Washington area, and virtually everyone comes to the office by automobile. And the compressed work week is a way of saving one day out of 10. So if you work 20 minutes longer, 9 days, the 10th day you get off, which is, again, one day that you won't have to use your car. So there's other things that we're looking at doing, but certainly just heightening the awareness of the importance of recycling and conserving energy and those kinds of things. The second role I have here is to work with our trade association folks to develop a plan to make them more sustainable. We have 9 global trade shows. Each one has a different footprint, a different impact on the environment. So we're working to analyze those shows and develop a plan to make them more sustainable. The problem with that is so much of it is dependent on the location, the facility that you're in. And fortunately, we are in the Rye facility in Amsterdam for ISE, and that is a probably the most sustainable event facility in the world. 95% of their energy comes from wind farms. So for our trade show, which uses lots and lots of electricity, getting 95% of it of that electricity as renewable energy is a really big deal. They've started to do other things such as sub-meter electric use to the booths, which certainly encourages the booth holders to turn off their power at night. And since those booths are generally constructed on site, they're starting to charge for waste material removal. So they're certainly at the forefront, the kind of the gold standard, and we want to take what we've learned there for the last several years and apply it to our other shows. The last part of my trilogy of responsibilities here is as a thought leader. One of the great things about associations is we can do for our members what is difficult or too expensive for them to do individually and do for them as a group. So a lot of my activity is to go out and work with the various organizations that are out there developing sustainability standards and codes and other things, find out what they're up to and putting it in terms and in packages that are available to our members for their use as they see fit and on what time frame that they like. So from doing something like this to web meetings, the webcast, to blogging, to doing presentations, getting the word out to our members that sustainability is coming is something you have to think about, and trying to help them navigate the course to make their companies more efficient and frankly more profitable.
Interesting. So, and how do you, I mean, how do you, in your own way, kind of measure success, I guess, you know, because that's tough. What you've just described are, you know, that could be tough, right? It's not.
It is difficult. We, in an association, we almost have to take the time frame of measuring our success, not like our members do on a day-to-day basis or a weekly basis or job-by-job basis. We have a much longer time frame. And it's kind of, as I've often said, it's trying to move the Titanic 180 degrees with a rowboat. Getting 5,000 members of InfoComm to first of all, recognize that sustainability is going to have an impact, and then to get them to do something about it, it takes a much longer time span. So we're talking about months, maybe even talking about years, to bring this to their awareness and have them do something about it. The other aspect is one of the worst things that I can do as an association staff person is tell our members how to run their business. That's not my job. My job is to provide them with information for them to use as they see fit. So it's going to be across the board as to when and how and who becomes more sustainable. We have some market sectors, though, that we look at, and I think live AV in particular is going to lead the forefront of the sustainability activities for the AV industry, primarily because their customers are starting to require it, to request it, because their customers are starting to require it and request it. So we have clients that are going to convention centers and to hotels and saying to the hotel, I want a sustainable meeting. Well, now the hotel comes back, or the convention center comes back to the AV provider and says, how can you be more sustainable? And I think that's a growing trend, particularly in the high-tech industry on the West Coast. Companies like Oracle and Microsoft and others have made sustainable meetings, trade shows and conferences a high priority. And so for our live events folks, this is something different. It's something new. They probably don't have the skill sets in-house. They're going to have to be addressing some new standards. ASTM has now 9 standards for sustainable meetings, one of which speaks specifically to the audiovisual industry. On the other hand, it's an opportunity for these companies to differentiate themselves in the marketplace and provide these services that are only going to be increased in their need. So it's a unique opportunity. It's something new, something different, something they have to learn about. But at the same time, I think it's a real opportunity to expand their market.
Right, absolutely. And in turn, as it should be the case with sustainable business practices, you know, the ultimate results are, you know, better business practices internally, right? So efficiency, you know, saving money, just better quality products, I found. And when we, you know, when we shifted our focus at my AV company to, you know, being more sustainable, being, you know, quote unquote green, it was, we found that the products we purchased tended to have, you know, it was better output for, you know, less input. So I think that, you know, there's also the business case, as you mentioned before, for the internal practices and the results that you get when you shift to sustainable focus.
Oh, absolutely. You know, my mantra, and I think I'm going to have it tattooed my forehead so everyone gets the message, is sustainability is good for business as long as business is involved in the process. You need to bring a business sensitivity to what you're doing. Because frankly, we're talking about time frames. Sustainability costs money, and the payback is going to be the next generation. The difference for businesses today, and again, we're seeing in the live events, is the next generation now has money. They're in the workforce. They want to do things differently, and they want to be more sustainable. So the marketplace is changing, not only for live events, our system integrators, our designers, consultants in the commercial building space, are going to have to embrace sustainability as well. It's going to be a little bit slower because it is not as direct as it is in the live events. I just gave a presentation last week at the University of Illinois addressing smart buildings and sustainability. And we had 130 people sign up for the seminar, and this is all internal staff at the University of Illinois. And what they told us is that their customers are asking for it. That is the prospective students coming in and asking about sustainability activities as part of their review of the campus. The students that they have now want to be more involved in sustainability and energy management. They want to be able to see the thermostat in their dorm room on their smartphone because that's how they operate now. So the higher education seems to be the sweet spot for the AV industry to become not only more sustainable but also address smart building technology. Which I think is really something that is brings everything together. You cannot have a truly operationally sustainable building without smart building technology. There's just too many data points to keep control of. The other part is convergence. We're seeing everything winding up on the network. And being able to manage that is a question as to who's going to manage that, what sector of the industry. And I think that's a perfect opportunity for the AV industry to pick up on that, because my perspective, being relatively new to the AV industry, is it's all about sound, motion, and light. And when it comes to smart building technology, the AV industry has the opportunity to humanize the smart building technology. It just isn't data points. We have the ability to communicate that, whether it be on a smartphone or dashboard or other things, a digital sign in the lobby. So again, I think it's a unique opportunity, one that's new, but one that I think we should pursue.
Right. Interesting. So, and that word sustainability is just part of the vernacular of the next generation in the workforce and the buyer, right? So.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing how much the market is going, is changing and will change over the next 10 or 15 years. There is a new sensitivity out there that frankly, I was unaware of until my kids went off to college and started giving me some crap about the way I manage things at home. And, you know, telling me to, if I'm going to talk, I better walk the walk. And again, it seems to be innate to them. And I asked my daughter about that. She says, well, you know, unfortunately, you're not going to be around 40 years from now, but I will be. And I want some of the things that you have. So save some of the earth for me, I think was her phrase. And her point's well taken. Again, we need to change the way we do things. We need to be more thoughtful about it. We need to do it in a business manner. And the payback is not going to be next week or next month. It's going to be the next generation. And as I said, the next generation is starting to ask for it. So,
yeah, absolutely. And along with them comes quite a bit of spending power. So completely agree. And I mean, the other thing too is that this is, you know, my column this month was really talking about, you know, the thousands of corporations that are now doing sustainability reporting internally. And if we're not there to service them, we're missing an opportunity, right? I mean, this is an absolute... you know, golden opportunity. It's right in front of us as service providers to various corporations and institutions of higher education. And if we don't seize it, we're just missing, right? Missing
absolutely
the boat. Yeah.
And if we don't, someone else will. And that's my fear. The silos that everyone in, particularly in the commercial building industry, has been in the last 50 years are disappearing. And no one has stepped up to take on ownership. Combining the sustainability, energy efficiency, and the smart building technology all in one. Again, was at a seminar several weeks ago here in the Washington area, and talking about the high-performance building as a broad term to include all those things. And I was struck by the number of real estate management companies that were there, Jones Lang LaSalle, Charles E. Smith, etc., that are huge proponents of sustainability and smart building technology. And what I find amazing is that where it's coming from is the CFOs of the company, the financial side, who now understand if they become more sustainable in their building operations and they have better data on how they do that, then they can become more efficient and have a better place in the marketplace for their buildings. Being able to come back to a tenant and say, you know, you left 22 monitors on last night, and that cost us energy, is actually very powerful stuff, because you're changing behavior with the data. And again, all this comes into my point is that you cannot have a truly operationally sustainable building without smart building technology. The data will tell you how to become even better.
Right. And I mean, either from somebody servicing integrated systems or live events, The number I had was that there's apparently the world's largest 3,000 companies face over $2 trillion in liabilities created by their environmental impacts, since that's now going to be reported on their accounting statements, right? So, I mean, they now have to account for the environmental impact in financial terms. You have companies who are going to be looking for any which way they can to reduce that liability, right? So, I mean, we are in perfect position to capitalize on that. You know,
Absolutely. And there's another market force that is just starting out there, which is the city governments.
Yes.
Starting to require energy reporting of the commercial buildings. And the Washington, D.C. just passed a law. And out of energy reporting is going to become energy budgets over time. And limiting the amount of energy in a building is a concern because we don't have an AV industry if we don't have something we can plug into.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But on the other hand, we have an opportunity, and as you alluded to, making people aware of the energy they use. There's nothing better than a digital sign in the lobby of a commercial building showing what their energy consumption to that point is compared to what it was last year, their peak energy for the day, those kinds of things. And again, that's what I said earlier about AVs, sound, motion, and light. There's no better way, no better focus than the AV industry to humanize sustainability and smart building technology. Sell that digital sign, get it into the lobby, connect it to the proper inputs, and you're going to change people's behavior. They're going to become more sustainable simply because we've informed them about how they're operating.
Right, absolutely. So I just have a quick question. I'm curious, and I think other people may be curious because, you know, I get this every year, which is, well, what are they doing at the show? You know, what's Infocom doing at the show this year? You know, is there any, are there any sustainability initiatives? What could people possibly look out for so they can get an idea of what's happening at the show this June?
Well, two things. One, we work very closely with Freeman in the U.S., and they have a number of initiatives, including information packets that they send out to exhibitors and how they can become more sustainable. We have our signs are recyclable, and we do recycle them, moving to, again, digital displays. Coming in and making sure that the power to the greatest extent possible is shut down at night. But again, so much of it is dependent on the convention center. And fortunately, the OCC, Orange County Convention Center, is at the forefront in the U.S. In sustainability activities. They just established a sustainability officer position. And we're going to be working more closely with them so that our plans can complement each other. In fact, the OCCC is intending to become the second convention center that will meet the new ASTM standards. But more importantly, we're evaluating all our trade shows and developing a plan, you know, going after the low-hanging fruit, obviously, and then making it a long-term plan. Talking to our exhibitors, working very carefully with them. We certainly don't want to impose upon them. So it's going to be a longer term activity, but one that's certainly aware of. And right now we're in the information collecting stage. And as I said, working with our partners like Freeman and Orange County Convention Center to see what it is we can do to be more sustainable.
Right. It doesn't happen overnight. And I know just from my role in chairing the ASTM AFI Standards Committee, you know, this isn't something that happens overnight. It takes really a partnership, like you just said, of working with Freeman, working with the convention center to try to comply as best as possible with the standards, to meet the standards. And that doesn't it doesn't happen in a couple of months, right? I mean, this is something that has to be sort of year round and start that dialogue early on.
Exactly. And as I said, the fact that staff is on board, we work very carefully and closely, I should say, with our exhibition managers, that they're fully supportive and getting the word out to our exhibitors that we're working on this. The other thing that we have done, which is related to it, you mentioned the ASTM AV standard. There's six criteria in that standard for our AV manufacturers so that when a live events organization goes into a facility that is asking them to meet the AV standard, that live events company would have to specify if their equipment meets any one of the six criteria that's in the standard. That information is a little difficult to get. So Infocom has taken the initiative with our online catalog, AVIQ, to start collecting that data from our manufacturers. It's voluntary. It's going to take some time to assemble it because there's lots of stuff on AVIQ. But we have taken the first step, and we are asking our manufacturers to supply that. And again, we're like, are they RoHS compliant, ISO 14001, I forget what the other four are. However, it will be the one place that our live events and our facilities and others can go to see which equipment meets this criteria. And it's so much easier than having to call 142 manufacturers and asking them for their particular models.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that. There used to be a lot of letters and emails and trying to track down the right person when we were purchasing our equipment. So that's really exciting. That's great news to share with them. With the listeners, that's interesting. And I remember when we very, very first had, the Green AV Task Force, that was always the conversation. Is there something we can do with IQ? So it's exciting that it's actually happening. I think that'll be fabulous tool for our listeners. Or for your members, I'm sorry. So just to kind of wrap up, we're coming up on our time here. Just curious if you have any advice for any of our listeners who are looking to, you know, implement more sustainable practices or have their own sustainability, you know, lead, if not officer, kind of want to take the steps to do this. How do you suggest they, you know, what are the kind of first steps to going about to do that?
Well, first of all, look inside. This is not a something that you suddenly need to calculate how many air miles you're flying and get online to get a carbon footprint calculator. But look at some of the things that you're doing internally. Do you recycle? Do you reuse? Do you track how much paper you throw through your copier and printer? Do you have an online document management system that's available in the field? Some basic things. And so take an inventory. As far as the person, certainly you may not want to have a full-time person initially. There are consultants that can come in and do an audit and give you a plan, again, in stages over time. But if you are looking to bring someone in-house, my recommendation from where I live is that you don't want a tree hugger or a global warming denier. You want someone in the middle that recognizes that sustainability is good for business, as long as business is part of the process. And that way, you're not going to be doing things that are going to harm the business. You want to do things that are beneficial for the long-term health of the business, even though the payback may be over a longer period than they're used to. So think about it first. Look around your shop, your office, see what you're doing. Take an inventory of what it is you're doing, and then go from there.
Interesting. That's really good advice. So that basically is all that I have, unless you have anything else you feel you'd like to share or any updates.
No, I think that's it. Certainly we'll be happy to come back in 6 months or so and see where we are in things or do so regularly. But I think we covered it quite well.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today. And to everyone listening, you know, I always throw out a challenge every month as part of, you know, steps to sustainability. And I think you actually just kind of, I was going to do something else, but you shifted my focus. And I think that what I would throw out to all of the listeners this month is to take inventory of your human capital and see who on your team may be the right lead. And maybe it's, or if you are that person, how can you justify your position based on some of the things Alan has talked about today? So that's my challenge for the month. Let me know how it's going, everyone. And look forward to talking to all of you, hearing from you out in the field. And I will be back next month with somebody just as wonderful as Alan. So thanks again for your time today, Alan.
Well, thank you very much.